Blog Talk Radio.
Glad in it. We just
stop revision. We thank God for what he has done and what he is about to do today. Listen, you have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We are excited about the Word of God today because the Word of God brings illumination. It gives greatest understanding. It gives us the wisdom and knowledge that we need. It gives us insight. It gives us a greater vision of the theme that God will help us to know at this day and this time. But why don't you just get ready for the Word of God? And why don't you just come with us as we get ready to go before the throne of grace? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, this God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you, God, for our radio audience. Bless them. Keep them ever before you. God, if there is sickness and infirmity in their body, God, we send the word of healing, God, even now. God, if they need to be encouraged, Lord, we send the word, God, even right now. God, we bind the spirit of discouragement. And God, we loose your power. We loose, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Peace, God, to everyone, Father God, that are listening to this broadcast. God, those that are in Texas, those that are in Chicago, Illinois, those that are in Hawaii, God, those, God, upon this earth, no matter what area, a city, a state that they live in, God, move on their behalf. And Father, for this, we will bless thee, we will praise you, we will magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we thank God for the word this morning, and we're excited about what God is about to do. Why don't you turn in your in the Bible today? We're coming from the Old Testament, and we're coming from 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. It reads, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smothered Ziklag and burned it with fire and had caught, and had taken the women captive that were therein, and they slew not any great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Let's stop right there for just a minute or so. And when we begin to look at the Word of God in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, it tells us that David and his men had came to a place called Ziklag, and they came on the third day. And the Amalekites had came, and they had invaded. In other words, they had forced themselves. They had gone into Ziklag with hostile intent, and they came in not as a friend, but they came in as a enemy. They came in with the intent of destroying that which the people of God had. And when they invaded it, they invaded it and they burned Ziklag with fire. And then the word of God told us that they had taken the women captive. And they didn't slay anyone. They didn't slay anybody. It was only the grace of God. It was only God covering them that they were not slain. that, you know, God has a way that is mighty sweet. Yes, they took them captive. Yes, they took them away. Yes, they burned the deep lag with fire. But the word of God tells us that they did not slew any of the women, whether they were great, whether they were small, but they carried them away with them. And then the word of God tells us when David and his men came to the city, come on, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Could you imagine what they were thinking? What you could imagine what they were feeling? You could imagine just smelling the fire and seeing the smoke from where they, their families were. And when they didn't know what had happened, but they knew that something dreadful had happened. And my God, they didn't know whether or not they had taken them and killed their family members. But yet, I'm telling you that it was an emotional time at that time because of the fact that someone that they loved, their son, David, family, his wives, the men, their wives, their children, their sons, their daughter had been taken, and they had been taken captive. And David and the people, let's read there on that, in that fourth verse, it says that David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. They lift up their voices and they wept. They were emotionally broken. They were broken because of the fact that something that was precious was taken away from them. And you can imagine when the knowing that this had happened, that they began to weep. They expressed sorrows, and they were overpowered with emotion by shedding tears. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes things come so suddenly, and that emotional heart within you will cause you to weep. It will cause you what, to shed tears. And because of the fact that you seem helpless, you seem like you don't know what to do, you know, because of the fact that this comes upon you so suddenly. And then when we began to look at the word of God, it tells us in that fifth verse, it says, and David, two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David had two wives. That was in that time where that in that culture where they had more than one wife. But in the day that we live in, we don't have but one husband and one wife. Other than that, we live in bigotry. So, but listen to me. Here in that in the Word of God, it tells us that David's wife was taken away from him, and I'm quite sure that he loved his wife and he cared for them, and he didn't know what to think, what they had done with their wives, with their loved ones. And David was greatly distressed. Have you ever been distressed before? Have you ever gone through things in your life where that you were distressed? You had great pain. You're going through anxiety, going through fear, going through sorrow, because you don't know what has happened. You know, David and his men had gone off and came back, and look what they found. Look what they found. And then it tells us that in that sixth verse, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They spoke of stoning David, their leader. You know, sometimes you don't know what people are going to do. They say that they love you. They say that they care about you. But when things come up that they can't handle, when things come up that they have no control of, they lose every intent of what they ever said, and they begin just to think about what has been taken or what has been lost. So here we see that the men, David's men, they were so emotionally upset that they thought about stoning the anointed man of God, the man of God, the man after God's own heart. We see that they were thinking about stoning their leader because they blamed him for their sons and their daughters and their wives being taken away from him. They were so grieved. And the word of God tells us because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm telling you sometimes that we're going to, after the crying, after the weeping, after the grieving, you have to encourage yourself. You see that those men, they wasn't there in order to encourage David because they were thinking about stoning the man of God. But David had to come to himself. Come on, somebody listen to me this morning. Somebody has to encourage themselves. No matter what you may be going through, no matter what trial you may be facing, or no matter what you've been through, you got to encourage yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. Those men, they were so grieved that they wasn't even thinking about encouraging David. They was about to stone him. But David had to, I like to say that even the word of God say, I will lift up my eyes to the hill, come on, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. So David had to look unto God, who's the author and the finisher of his faith. So he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Somebody needs to encourage themselves. No matter what you may be going through, no matter what the bank statement may read, no matter what that bill collector, they be calling you 2 or 3 times a day. You got to encourage yourself. No matter what is going on your job, you got to encourage yourself. No matter what's going on in your family, you have to encourage yourself. So David had to encourage himself. He was the leader. He was God's leader. He was the one that God had put in charge. So in order for the men to be encouraged, he had to encourage himself. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you bring me here the ephod. And Abiathar brought from there the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. David didn't just go on a rampage after the enemy, after the truth, but he acknowledge God. The word of God say, in all thy way, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. So he asked God whether or not he should pursue. Should he go after them? He didn't just because he knew that his two wives had been taken. He wasn't going just because his men, sons and daughters and wives had been taken. He wasn't just going because they had burned Ziklag, but he wanted to hear from God. I believe today that we ought to be able to hear from God. I believe that we not should do things according to our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So after he had acknowledged God, the Lord God let him know, yes, for him to pursue and to overtake them without fail and to recover all. Come on, that's wrong. To recover all. I know that your family have been taken. I know that they have burned your land. But yes, you go after them and pursue them and recover all. In that ninth verse, so David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of the sword, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over to the brook of the sword. They had 600 men, but two hundred of them, they were so faint, they were so weak until they couldn't make it. You know, sometimes stress will make you weak. Sometimes things that you're going through will make you weak. They were overpowered with them. They just coming back, find out their family wasn't there. And they, as they started with David, they could not go on to pursue after them. But David was able to take 400 men. The other 200, they stayed with things that David had left. And they found, in that 11th verse, it says, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, but he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. That this was the enemy servant that was left behind, couldn't make it, and they left him behind. But then God, it was a setup, because God had this servant that was weak and even couldn't go any further. When David men came and brought him to David, they fed him, and then he was reviled on the inside. He was reviled because he hadn't eaten anything in 3 days. And David said to him, to whom belong you? And where are you from? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekites, and the master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. He didn't have any compassion for him. He couldn't be able to use him, so he left him. He said, I fell sick 3 days ago. And he let him know that his master had left him. He said, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherubri, upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Calah, and we burned Ziklag with us. I mean, this was the key. He had the key. He knew that this man had the key. He knew that this man was with the enemy who had taken his wives and taken the other people captive. And David said to him, "Can you bring me down to the company?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company." And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. They were eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. They were having a good time. They have gone in and invaded these places. They came and taken that which belonged to somebody else. And David seen that they caught them in a vulnerable time. You know, they thought that all was well. They were eating, they were dancing, they were having a good time. But they didn't know that the man of God was there. The man and his men was there. They came that they could recover all. They came that they could get their wives and their children and the spoil that belonged to them. And David smote them. There's the word of God saying in that 17th verse. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save the 400 young men which rode upon the camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Don't you know the plan of God is better than our plan? Do you not know that we can just trust God and we can put our confidence in him? Don't we know that there is nothing too hard for God? This was a hard situation. It was David and his men were standing in a place that all they could do is weep, and they wept, they were distressed, they was grieved. But after all of that, when David came to himself and then you seek the face of God, God let him know to pursue and recover all. They were able to go into the camp of the enemy. And they began to recover all that belonged to them, everything that they had taken from David and his men, everything that they had stolen from other people. God had a plan. It tells us, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives. And there was nothing likened to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughter, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and herds which they drove before those other captives and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook of Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with them. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. He greeted them. It didn't matter if they didn't go with them. He acknowledged. He knew that they were too weak and too sickly and tired to go with them. And then, you know, there's always a person in a crowd sometimes when they don't have the vision of God, when they don't have the love of God, when they are thinking about themselves. There's sometimes there are people that in a crowd that when it seems like it's not everybody, but there are a few people that don't see the way God sees them. David, when he's seeing those that was weak and those who were not strong enough to go to the fight with them, he greeted them, he saluted them. But when you read that 22nd verse, it says, then after all the weak men and the men of Baal, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them anything of the spoil, that we have recovered, saying to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and departed. Now, you know, this was nothing but the devil, because their heart wasn't with them. He was not acknowledging that these people were too weak to go with David and the rest of the men. So what they wanted to do is, we're going to give them something. Excuse me. And we're going to send them on their way. We want them to part from us. But they no longer going to be with us. Look now, the God has already given them the spoil, gave them a whole many, many things. But yet they didn't want to show the love of God towards these 200 men that did not go with them. And in that 23rd verse it says, then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord, come on, that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land. For who will hearken to you in this matter? Who will listen to you? I'm not listening to you. We're not going to listen to you. But as his part is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute, a decree for an audience for Israel to this day. I'm telling you that if God be for you, it is more than they that be against you. Sometimes things does not look the way that you want them to look, but you have to look to God, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to look to God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We have to ask ourselves, is there anything too hard for God? I can hear, even as the word of God speaking and bringing revelation and bring it back to me, that the question was asked even when Sarah, when she was an old woman, come on, I mean, she was like 99 years old. I think she was in her 90s, 90 years old. And the Lord let her know, had told her before that she was going to have a child before she got that age. But she didn't see it. I mean, God didn't bring it forth when he told her. But her time was not God's time. Sometimes we think that when we go before God and ask God to do certain things for us, we thank God, we want God to move right now. God, when you say it, I want you to move it. God, if it said today, God, before the day is out, I want you to do it. I want to see it. Now, God, if you wait 5 days, something must be wrong. If you're waiting 30 days or if you're waiting some years, what is happening here? But, you know, God had her to wait on him. He had she and Abraham. Oh, my God, both of them were old. Both of them. were old people. But I say again, is there anything too high for God? See, God wants to show himself as being the great I am, the I am that I am. He wants to show you that he is the Alpha and Omega. He wants to show you that he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So even after she having to wait on God, because even when the man of God, the angel told even Sarah that she's gonna, that by this time she's gonna have a child, she had to laugh because she didn't think she was gonna have any pleasure. I mean, I'm old. Am I gonna still have pleasure with my husband? Oh my God! But our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts, the things that we think, you know. We have to line up with the word of God, line by line and precept by precept. And God wanted to let not only Sarah and Abraham know, but those that are around them know that it is nothing too hard for me to do. Yes, you know, in the natural, you think about a young woman having a child, you know, that's not a difficult thing. That's not a hard thing. It's really expected of them. But when you wait until you're almost in the rocking chair and your husband is impotent and it seems like he won't be able to have a seat, God wants them to know that there is nothing too hard for me to do. And that's the same thing God is saying to the people today. What is it that you're asking me? Yes, you may have been sick. You have infirmity in your body, but hey, can you wait on me? Can you believe me? Can you trust me to know that I am the healer? I am the deliverer. Come on. We have to have that faith in God. And I like that persistent faith. When I think about the man's friends that had brought him to Jesus to be healed, and it was such a crowd that he couldn't even get in. But they went on the housetop, and they let the man down through the roof because they had that faith to believe God. Come on. You have to have that persistent faith, that faith that I'm not going to stop. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God for whatever the cost, whatever I have the time that I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to believe God. So, when it didn't look good for David, when it didn't look good for his men, God had it all in control. And that's what you have to know today, that God has it all in control and that there is nothing too hard for God. We have to encourage ourselves. That's one of the things I want you to walk away from here today and know that sometimes that you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you have to stand on the word and believe God and to know, and I'm going to take that back, not sometimes, every day of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you need to stand on the word of God and to know that God is able to bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom, thou art the power, thou art the glory. Father, we thank you this morning for the spoken word. We thank you for the written word. We thank you for the rhema word. We thank you, God, for sending forth the word to your people. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to encourage them, to keep them before you, to bless them, Father, as they're going in, bless them as they're coming out. Lord, what a petition they have before you. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will move on their behalf. God, that you will fight every battle. God, that you, Lord God, will encourage the people all over the world today. And God, that they will not look to man, but they will look to you. For your word said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way, then you will hear from heaven. You say, God, that you will forgive the sin, and you said that you will heal the land. So, Lord God, forgive sin today. Heal the land today. Bless the people. Encourage the people, Father, and save them, Father God, those that are not saved, those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. God, you said if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, we thank you right now for another day with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We just honor the Lord today, and we thank God that you have tuned in to the Hour of Power broadcast. Welcome you and we invite you to come with us to make an appointment, make a time that on next week, on Wednesday and Friday of next week, that you too will join in as the Word of God comes forth with preaching the Word of God without compromise, that you again would get to hear the Word of God. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We pray the blessing upon you today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.